Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We are now in Nedarim, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, at the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Vav, the second part, and will also include Mishnah Zayin and Mishnah Chet. And then our entire focus will be at the very end of Mishnah Chet. Amarlo hashileni paratcha. Again, we're talking about a madir and a mudar. A fellow says to another, they don't yet have that relationship, lend me your cow. Amarlo ena pnuya. The other guy says, my cow is busy, I can't lend it to you. So the first fellow, we'll call him A, gets very angry and says, Amar konam sadesh ani choresh ba leolam. He takes a neder and he says, I will not, I'm vowing that my field, I will not plow my field with that cow forever. So now what do we do with that phrase? Im hayadar kol achrosh, if he himself would plow his own field, then hu asur, choda mutarim, then he is not allowed to use that cow, but others may use that cow to plow his field for him. Because the words she'ani choresh refers to his own action. But if he is somebody who does not generally plow his own field, then who v'chol adam asurin, then everyone's asur, because when he said shani choresh, his reference was to plowing on his behalf, not his own plowing, because that's not something he does. Okay, the next mishnah, Zayin. Hamudar hanah mechaver ve'en lemayochal. So again, we're back to A and B. B is mudar hanah from A, and B now has nothing to eat, and A wants to help him. Holech etzal achen vani. A goes to the storekeeper. Vomer ish ploni noder mimeni or mudar mimeni hanaa. So A goes to the storekeeper and says, B is mudar hanaa from me. Ve'eni odem ayase. I don't know how to help him. He leaves it sort of blank. V'hu noteno. That's sort of a wink, and allows the storekeeper to then give B food. Uvavano tel mizeh. Then the storekeeper comes to A and takes money from him, and that's permissible because A is not directly giving B the food. Hayab betoliv not, or similarly, if B had to build a house, gidrolik dor had to build a fence, sadeolik tzor harvest his field. Again, B has no money to hire workers. Holech etzel apoalim, he goes down to where the workers are hanging out. Viomer ish ploni mudar mimeni hana. B is mudar hana from me. Veini odeh ma yaseh, I don't know how to help him. Vehein osirimo, so they pick up the hint, they go and work for B, build his house, do his fence, reap his harvest. Then they come back to A and get paid by him. Now the last mission in the parak, Hayum Halchin Baderach. Let's say that B and some other guy, we'll call him X, are walking on the way. And B has nothing to eat, and A is there. What can A do? Noten la acher, the shumatana. He can give X a gift of food. Vahalo mutarba, and then X can give the food to B, and that's fine. Im eni mahem acher, let's say that it's just B walking. Meniach al hasela o al hagader, or it seems to be that the case we're talking about is where A and B are walking together and there's a third person, but let's say there is no other person. A can take the food and put it on a rock, o al hagader on a fence. Ve'omer harehin mufkarim l'chol mishiach potz, and then declare, this food is mufkar, is ownerless. Anybody who wants to pick it up can pick it up, but of course nobody's within miles except B. V'halona tel v'yochel, and B can pick it up. V'rabiyosi oser, Rabiyosi disagrees and says that there, without a middleman, just putting it into hefker is not good enough. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my Talmud Rabbi Yossi, why does Rabbi Yossi disagree? And as I mentioned, the entire discussion will be just about the very end of this Mishnah. Kesavar hefker kamatanah. So Rabbi Yochanan posits that Rabbi Yossi's approach to hefker is that it's like a gift, meaning there is no such domain known as hefker. Hefker just means that I've relinquished ownership, but I'm still the named owner until somebody else picks it up. Ma matana ada atir mishut notan the vishut makabel, just like a regular gift, it isn't given over until it goes into the domain of the recipient. Af hefker ada atir mishut zoche. Similarly, hefker is not out of the reshut of the giver until somebody's come along and claimed it. In other words, there is no middle reshut called hefker, and there is no such thing as something that is ownerless. If an individual ever owned it, he owns it until another owns it. Now, Meitiv Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba challenges this. V'halono tel v'yochel from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Oser. Now, in a Braita, I'm Rabbi Yossi Ematai. When do I think that it's asur to go without the middleman and just put it down on the rock and say it's mufkar? That's only if you took the neder and afterwards you were mafkir the bread, for instance. But if the hefker was first, then harezim mutar, it's okay. And if you, Rabbi Yochanan, are going to claim that hefker only becomes out of the domain of the mafkir when it enters the domain of the new guy who picks it up, what do I care what order it happens in? After all, if the fellow even was mafkir the item and then took the neder, nonetheless, it should be the case that it's still in his domain and it's still included in property that's forbidden until the other guy gets it. So, Ehu Motiv Avahum Mushani La Rabbi Abba asked the question, and he also brought the answer, Kol HaNoder Ein Dato Amashi Hifkir. He says, anyone who takes a neder only has in mind things which are in his ownership and intend to stay in his ownership. Which means when you take a neder, anything that you were already mafkir is not something you were thinking about as being banned, because as far as you're concerned, you've gotten rid of it. So therefore, if you took the neder first and you own this bread and then you were mafkir it, Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't work, as Kodewa Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't work because it hasn't yet left your reshut. And when you took the neder, it wasn't yet hefker, and you were thinking about it. But if you were mafkir at first, and when you took the neder afterwards, that was stuff that just wasn't part of your thinking. And therefore, it is not included in the ban. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan would defend himself. Now, Rabbi Rava challenges Rabbi Yochanan again. Ametiv Rava, miktzatan l'rishon, Kulam Lasheni, a little bit of a preface here. A Shchiv Mira, somebody who is dying, was on his deathbed, but we're not sure he's going to die. He's not that far along that it's an irrevocable case. Is able to gift things to different people, and that is a valid gift that will take place when he dies. However, if he gifts part of his estate, then it's a valid gift. We see what happens with him. If he recovers, the gift is still valid. If he dies, then, of course, the gift is valid at that point. If, on the other hand, he gifts his entire estate, then, if he gets better, he can retract the gift. Why is that? Because it's clear that he only intended to gift his entire estate based on the assumption he was going to die. When he got better, that wasn't what he was playing with. So therefore, if a man says, I'm going to give 10% of my property to this guy, and 10% of that guy, 10%, etc., it's only the last 10% who is the fellow who will lose if this fellow gets better. Each of the first 9 of those declarations included giving some of his stuff away, but leaving some for himself. The last 10% liquidated his entire estate. And then if he gets better, then he can call that back. So now, Miktzatan l'rishon v'kulam l'sheni, let's say that a shchiv mira gave some of his property to first guy, and the second guy, we'll call him P and Q, he gave part of his stuff to P, and he said everything else goes to Q. So then he got better. Rishon kana, P was able to acquire what he acquired. Sheni lo kana, Q does not acquire. Why does Q not acquire? Because since P stood to get, let's say, 30%, and that means that the 70% that Q is going to get would liquidate the estate. And therefore, when the sick guy gets better, he's able to retract that. However, there's a problem, because after all, P did not yet get his 30%. He only stood to get the 30%. And nonetheless, the 70% that Q would receive would liquidate the estate, and therefore, the man can pull it back. So that means that Rabbi Yossi cannot be of the opinion that when you gift something to a no man's zone, which is like Hefker, that it has not left your property until it's received by the other fellow. There is such a middle ground as it's no longer mine, but it's not yet his. And that we see from this halacha. So Rava says, I have a different explanation for Rabbi Yossi for bad doing the hefker loophole to try to get food to the mudar. It's a precaution against the very famous case that happened in Beit Choron with a wedding, a story that we will see a little later on, not in this year because it's over, but a little later on, towards the end of the parak, where a person had a wedding and he had been madir his father from benefiting from him, and he tried to get his father to be able to share in the wedding, and he tried to do so by handing the entire keys to the wedding over to a third person so that the father would not be benefiting directly from the son. That is the story of Matnat Beit Choron, and Rabbi Yossi maintains, therefore you may never directly benefit the mudar using this bogus middle area of hefker. In such a case, you always need to work through a legitimate middleman. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we will pick up at this point, discuss some of the issues of hefker, and go from there to the end of the parak on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Everybody should have a wonderful day.